All right, welcome into part two, everybody. If you are just joining us, make sure you go and listen to part one of the podcast, where you will witness such things as me scarfing down a couple Whoppers, me yelling at Sony, me yelling at Toyota, and then Jay calming me down and presenting some actual, like, valid news car related
stuff. That was fact checking, man.
By the way, they don't intend you to, like, if you go get one of those plant-based Whoppers and just eat it without your point of comparison, I'll bet you can't. I'll bet it's not as obvious as it was to me.
Probably not. And I've had some plant-based hamburgers.
Yeah.
That tasted pretty good. I mean, they're okay. I like some of the black bean burgers. You can get it at, like, Costco.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of that stuff's
okay,
man.
Yeah, we do those a lot. Yeah.
But you know what I had last night, man? I had me an official quarter
monkey
pound,
hips and rice.
No, man, quarter pound hamburger, man.
Can't do that. You know, if you're gonna put that out there, you know what you're gonna get from me. You know, every time, you're not gonna get a rational response from me.
I know you by now. See,
so you had a real quarter pounder.
A quarter pound burger that was from Bastion. That great brewery
okay.
over there.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've done, man, those guys are going ballistic over there with what they're doing with their barbecue. And, they're doing barbecue now, three days a week, and, you know, ribs and all sorts of good stuff. So, anyway.
So I'll mention one other thing here before we get rolling into the subject matter of the day.
Mm-hmm.
We announced on part one, again, if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to it. We're going to do a drawing next time.
Yep. And
on the next podcast.
This is going to be the giveaway.
Now, Chemical Guys, Mr. Pink, that Jay is holding up. Jay did a review on our YouTube channel of the entire Chemical Guys car wash kit. It's one of my favorite videos.
HOL 121 is the kit number.
There you go. Thanks.
Yep.
So we're gonna change what we give up, but you must be a subscriber on the YouTube channel
for the
next drawing. So please go do that.
That's exactly
hit pause
right.
And go do it right now if you haven't done it.
Exactly. Please. Remember what I always said. It's free to you, but it's priceless to us.
Yeah. I cannot do as good a job as you can at that, so I don't try. Yeah. Why? It's like Glenn Frey said, man, why would I want to sing a song when I got Don Henley?
That's right. Yeah. Oh, I get it.
And then he went on to launch his own solo career, but whatever.
Smuggler's Blues, man. That was a good one.
Yeah, see, but he was right. You should have never. The Eagles were great,
mm-hmm.
but I probably could have done without Glenn Frey's solo career. I mean, it's not like awful, but I just don't know that it was necessary.
Yeah. Yeah, he was certainly a key to that band's success, and other bands' success. I mean, you know, he and Don. I mean, they were with Linda Ronstadt before they became the Eagles, which they were basically her band.
Jackson Brown and all that whole California.
Great stuff, man. Yeah.
I got some music history knowledge too.
I know you do. You ought to. You we know where you went to school.
We're not going to mention that. Less people hold it against me. So, let me set this up.
Yes.
So, Jay and I always talk about what would be interesting subject matter for the podcast. And I have an RV. If you don't know that, welcome to the podcast.
Outlaw
had a weird repair thing. I had a guy that I keep it in a storage lot, and he has also a Thor, a Class A motorhome that parks next to me. And he brand new, man, beautiful rig. Parked it right next to me and backed it, and just clipped just a little tiny piece off of my fuel door. So then what ensued was nothing short of just a complete fiasco, which we're gonna get into. I think probably what convinced me to talk about this on the podcast was the things that Jay suggested that I hadn't considered, probably because I was too worked up to think rationally. But so This can apply to any type of repair, especially automotive, but body shop work for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's worth mentioning, I dealt a lot with Camping World in this, and we talked about whether or not we wanted to put their name out there. I'm just going to be factual about what happened. You can make your own decisions on how you feel about that. There is a common way of doing business in the RV world that says, if you didn't buy that RV from us, we will not service it. And there are places that advertise that when you walk in to buy them. And so I bought mine out of state, and I didn't really have a choice because they're harder to find, and there was a specific model that I was looking for, and I had to drive to Tampa, Florida to get it. And that's all fine, but then I kind of had to work with Thor, the manufacturer, to find someone that would service it in my Nashville home area. And the first three places I called wouldn't even literally would not return my phone calls. They knew I didn't buy it from them, and they weren't gonna. They just wouldn't waste their time with me.
That's right. Yeah.
So Camping World was one of the only ones that would, and they did a lot of repair work for me in the first year. And service guys there. What's that?
I said, oh boy, did they.
Yeah, well, he made the joke. He goes, you know, I've had your rig more than you've had it, right? Yeah. It's been mine more than it's been yours.
That's why I was saying that, man. You know, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
My mic is a little crooked, man.
So, man, it looks...
Does it look okay now?
Yeah, it looks good. It looks professional. That's what we're going for, right?
Right, yeah.
So basically, I guess the gist of this is... and Jay, I'll hold up some photos for you. I will superimpose this over the actual podcast when it airs. But this particular RV that I own has a fuel door near the back. And there's a little knob that you turn to unlock the, you know, it lets it open and close and secures it.
Yeah.
And this guy, miraculously, when I got the phone call and he said I backed into you, and, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be pretty bad. He just managed to break the little knob off the fuel door. That is the knob.
Yep.
All right. And it's just, you see, it's just kind of beat up there and the paint's rubbed off of it. I actually managed to get it back together so that I could keep that door closed driving down the road. But now when you replace that, and here's what one should look like. This is actually on the guy's rig that hit me. I just walked up to his and took a picture of it.
Perfect. Yep.
There it is. You know, they paint them to match the rig and all that, right?
Yep.
So when you buy these things, it comes as a full assembly. You can't just buy that little knob. So this is it in the packaging. You can see all the electrical wires and the gauge that's on the back side of the door and all that. And you got to buy that whole kit. And it's about like $65 for the whole kit. I mean, it's not bad. Nope. But most cars, when you have body work done and you order a fender for your car, it comes unpainted, right?
Yep.
You've done body work before. Oh, yeah. You've worked on.
Most of the time.
Usually when you order replacement parts, they come unpainted, right?
They'll come unpainted. You'll probably have a coating of factory primer on it that will allow you to start the prep. Most cases, most body shops are going to sand that heavily. They'll wet sand it, and then they'll prime it. They'll get it right. And then they'll continue to process of wet sanding it until they go with final coat, yeah. So
my thinking was, all right, I'm going to go back to Camping World first because these guys know me because I've been there a bunch and they've done a good job and they've taken care of me. And second, because we're talking about two things here. We're talking about a part that has to be ordered, which they can do, and then the body work, which they have a body shop on site. Mm-hmm. And this is Camping World of Nashville, all right?
And the nice part for you, Keith, so, you know, and why you did this, it's all inclusive. It's a one-stop shop for you. That's what you expect.
Yeah.
You
know, I call them up and I'm like, here's what we need done, and then call me when it's done, right? And I don't have to take it over somewhere else after I get the part and all that, right? So I had been dealing with a guy in the past, and he had said, because they're always busy there. I mean, like I would walk into the service center, and it would just be, the phone would just never stop ringing. I mean, it's literally like air traffic control in there. Mm-hmm. And I think Camping World is that way in a lot of locations.
RV, the one here is just
they're just always busy. And good for them, right? So this guy had told me, he'd said, look, the best way to reach us is by email. If you need me, here's my card, email me. And he always would respond, like maybe a day, mm-hmm. maybe two, but he'd follow up by email. And so I left him alone. I never tried to call him. We'd always do email first. Mm-hmm. So I email him a picture, just what I showed you. I send my VIN number because they need that a lot to look up the parts. If you don't know why that's important, go back and watch our video on our website about VINs where Jay and I take you through. That was one you did, right? Didn't you do that write up?
Yeah,
on VINs and why they matter?
And VINs and how important they are and why you should have them handy and know what.
So there you
go. It's your DNA.
So
it's your vehicle DNA.
Yeah. So they could tell everything about it, paint code and all that. So I gave them the VIN number. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And a week goes by. Now, this is kind of in the middle of summer and they're busy. And I'm thinking, all right, well, first, that's kind of unusual. This guy usually responds. But also, you know, I've got a guy that's my parking neighbor that called me and told me he did it. And he's trying to do the right thing. And I'm not going to just string him along and leave him hanging. So after a week had gone by, I followed up. I called Camping World and I said, hey, I'm trying to reach the service shop. I sent an email a week ago and haven't heard anything. And the lady at the switchboard goes, hold on. And she sends me back. And I get this guy's voicemail. It's a different guy. But I've worked with that guy. I've talked to him before. And I'm like, all right, fine. So I leave this guy a voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him who I am. Told him that I'd left an email for his coworker and haven't heard anything in a week. And, you know, here's the deal. Please call me. Right? Couple more days go by. Nothing.
What?
So at this point, I'm like, well, this is just odd. So, I mean, literally can't, you know, because I thought for sure when he heard that voicemail, I'd go, ooh, we dropped the ball. We got to follow
right,
up.
Right, right. You know,
so I called.
You're probably thinking, is this guy sick or, you know, that, you know, what's going on? You know,
vacation, right. You know, but now this is two different guys.
So prep, your experiences have been really good. You have forged a really good relationship with this guy. And so this is what you expect. I mean, he set the standard basically for you. Your experience is going to be really good, right? You know?
Yep.
So.
And I know they're busy, right. And so I'm trying to like not be pushy, right. But I just need to hear something mm-hmm. that says, thanks for the information. We have what we need. I'll get back to you. Something like that would be fine. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nothing. So I call in again 2 days later and I get transferred back to a holding queue. And the holding queue at this point literally has me on hold for 5 or 10 minutes. And then a system message comes on that says, sorry, there's been a system malfunction. Please call back later. And it just hangs up.
Okay, so here's a bigger question with that. What kind of hold music did they have on? Was it like yacht rock?
It was real generic.
Yacht rock or?
Real generic. No, it was like came with the phone system electronica kind
no
of
originality,
stuff.
Huh? None?
No. Nope. Oh.
Okay.
So. Look, Camping World, if you can sponsor Major League Baseball, you can buy good hold. You can pay for the music rights mm-hmm. for some good hold music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's lots of camping and outdoor music you could. Okay. So I'm like, all right, well, maybe this is a system glitch. So I try like, that was in the morning. So I try back like 4 or 5 hours later, same thing. So I'm like, all right, well, they'll get it. I just keep giving these guys the benefit of the doubt. So then I call back the next day and I'm like, same thing. Get in the holding queue, hold for 5-10 minutes. The system pukes, hangs up on mm-hmm. me. We're done.
Right.
So there is a sign in Camping World, and I've seen it before, and there's a picture of the CEO, Marcus Lemonis, and it says, if you're not happy, I'm not happy. If you need any help, please call my office. And I go on the website, and I look up that number, and I call his office. And they're super nice. And I just said, look, trying to call Camping World in Nashville. Can't get anybody to call me back. Tried email. Can't get a response. I just need to talk to somebody in service to get something scheduled. The lady goes, I'm on it. We'll take care of it. Give me your info. We'll be in touch. 24 hours later, somebody calls me from corporate, says, we've spoke to the local manager of that store. They're going to be out in touch with you this afternoon. Okay, great. So that afternoon, I get a phone call, and they're like, look, I'm in parts. Tell me what it is you need, and then I'm going to send you over to the service person. Her name is Kelsey. She'll take care of you once we get the part ordered. So I'm like, okay, great. So get the part, $65, done. And then this is where things just come off the rails.
Right.
So So I feel like I'm telling a bedtime story, Jay, with to my son. You're just sitting there like all.
I know.
You know, I know some of this too. But
I know that there's some pieces that you left out. So I'm interested in the in betweens. Sorry, yep. I'm going to sit here and go. Wow.
Thanks, yeah. Ed. So, so basically, I was informed that the guy that I had been working with originally, so the first email, that guy doesn't work there anymore.
So you got it. You got
that's,
an.
That's
you
all
got
I know.
An email that the guy doesn't work there anymore after the phone call to corporate or before?
No, they told me this on the phone.
All right.
And I'm thinking, you know, is it that hard to like forward his mail to another person, mm-hmm. or put an autoresponder on there that says this mailbox isn't checked, please? You're just letting stuff go into a queue and sitting there and nobody's checking yeah. it. And, you know, the guy had business cards with his email address on them. Somebody needs to be on that.
For those of you who would like a one-on-one on management, just, you know, just go ahead and just reach out to me. And while you're, you know, just email us, contact us. And then
it's not hard.
But I can certainly.
Just put an out of office that says, work. I don't work here anymore. I mean, just whatever, right?
We're in the business to sell service, right? Good customer service. Yeah. That's what they're in the business for.
Well, I'm not sure anymore. Well, I mean, after what I'm about to, you know, but...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, okay. So I get this... So that was a phone call, and they said, forward me the email that you originally sent, which has now been forwarded to two different people.
Corporate has it,
so
yeah,
the first guy... No, well, the first guy, and then I found out he wasn't working there anymore. So then I forwarded it to the guy who I had left a voicemail mm-hmm. for, who never responded. So now I'm on to forwarding it to a third person.
Now, this third person, did this third person take the place of the guy that left before? So he's the new
guy? Yeah, well, I don't know. Because I think she was there the last time I was there. I just never had any interaction with her.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I don't know. So... I got an email back from her, and she said, hey, we got everything we needed from that email that you sent, so thanks. The total amount for the part and shipping is $61.81. Okay, we knew that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. As for the paint, we are needing 4 hours of labor, which is $540 total labor. I know that... Do you want me to pause there to let you think about what...
Yeah, so... Yeah. No. So
I
know that whenever you were... You know, we were initially talking about it, that's where I wanted you to come out with the brake sound. Hit the brake sound.
Right. So literally in my head, when that whole I'm reading this email, and in my head literally was a
right.
Okay, $540. Okay, so this is a
what's the measurements?
4-inch by 6-inch part, roughly.
Right.
And I guess I need to explain this. It's not being painted on the vehicle.
Right.
Okay. They're painting the part and then handing it to me, and I'm putting the four screws in to replace it. You know how I know it's four screws? Because it was originally replaced by Thor because they didn't wire it correctly. Mm-hmm. And it burned the motor up when I took it from the factory. So I've had to replace it myself before. They sent me a replacement part.
You know the routine. Okay. You know how it works. Yes.
I knew that it was going to come as a mm-hmm. kit. I told the guy that hit me that. I'm like, I'm pretty sure they're going to send the whole kit. It's going to have to be painted. Blah, blah, blah.
This is not the first time this has occurred with the replacement of this thing. You know what to expect.
I knew the job. Yep. I knew how long it would take me. I literally could see the wire harness behind the door and all that. Okay, so... I'm just sitting here going, this has got to be a typo.
Right.
4 hours of paint labor to paint a part that's this big.
Exactly. And that's when
that's
I said...
not on a vehicle, meaning you don't have to tape off or mask anything, really. You just lay it down on a piece of cardboard and
so
shoot
it. Let's get into the next steps, which was when you're at this point with me where you've done all your homework and you call me up and you're like, does this sound... write to you? And I said, no. I said, do you have the paint code? Yes. Everything match? Yes. And I said, well, why don't you just paint it yourself? It'd probably only take you like an hour and a half to do it yourself.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I know. That's what I'm telling the guy. So go ahead. I interrupted, but that's just...
And I said, no, it's perfect. So I was like, yeah, but I don't have the time, you know. And honestly, this isn't, you know, it's on the guy that hit it. And he's willing to take care of it. I'm just trying to not... I'm trying to do the right thing just like he's trying to do the right thing. I'm not trying to gouge the guy, you know? I mean, we can be decent about this to each other. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to just follow up on this because I don't know. I don't know. At this point, I don't know what to think. I don't know if she doesn't know what she's talking about or if somebody's looking at the wrong part. I don't know. I don't know. So I wrote her back and I said, Kelsey, thanks for the info. I'll turn this over to the other party and get back to you, which I then did. And he hit the roof.
I don't blame him.
I was like, hey, Gene, I just forwarded him this email and he was like, are you freaking kidding me?
It's ridiculous.
And I went, I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm trying. So I said, hey, Kelsey, thanks for the info. I'll turn this over to the other party and get back to you. One question on the paint and 4 hours labor to paint and match. Camping World just painted that color on my rig at your location less than 6 months ago. That was as part of the previous replacement work that they did on that part.
Right.
Okay. It's a standard color. I have the touch-up bottle from Thor with the Sickens paint code. So Sickens is the paint brand, and they use that paint on a lot of exotics like Lamborghinis and Ferraris and stuff. Yep. It's good paint. Yep. Sickens is good paint. I mean, I don't, you know, whatever. But I got the paint code. So I guess that 4 hours seems a lot with that info. Are you sure? We're painting a 6-inch by 6-inch plastic door that can be painted before install. Honestly, someone needs to double check their work with that number.
I would have done the same thing.
I wasn't mean about it. I definitely did not go, well, look, little lady, I'm going to tell you how this is. No, I was just like, look, this doesn't seem right to me. So she writes me back and says, Mr. Keith, I've checked with the body shop and the absolute lowest we can go would be $405. So the original quote was like $540. So they're coming down probably, what, about an hour or 3 hours labor there?
Labor rates can vary anywhere between $90 and $140 an hour, just depending on who you are.
This is, this looks to be, if it's 3 hours, it's about $130 bucks in labor, something like that, okay? I know it seems like a lot, but the surface has to be prepped so the paint will adhere, and I know you have the paint code, but it only gets the paint close. It is not an exact match.
Ding, 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 ding. Wrong answer.
It gets better. We will have to mix it, and your paint also has flake in it, and I think she means metal flake.
Yeah.
All right, so Jade, let me just ask you. So if I'm just gonna just take this email at face value, if I buy automotive paint, the metal flake doesn't come in it.
No, it comes in it. If you have a paint code, if you have a paint code, okay.
Right. Which I do.
Typically, the metal...
Which I have the bottle of... They gave me touch-up bottles of all four colors that are on the rig with the paint codes on.
Keep in mind, all of these things... I mean, I go way back to the days where I worked for Napa and CarQuest, and, you know, I used to mix paint. And they have, you know, for body shops. And if it doesn't have the flake in it, and that's part of the process of adding to create... It has a... They all have codes. I used to look on Microfiche. They give you the exact measurements to put in this to match the paint if you're getting it mixed. But you've got all your paint codes. You got everything in hand. And you should be able to get an accurate match. It's a brand new vehicle. It's just been recently painted.
I can see a scenario where if I've got a red automobile that's been sitting out in the sun for 4 or 5 years, this is a different story. So there's some UV fading and all that, right?
The answer there that they gave you was so far out in left field to me. That's where I said to you, you know what I would do? Why don't you go check out some body shops?
Yeah, so Jay actually gave me some really good advice here. So I had one thought as I'm trying to go, you know, is this possible? Is there any chance that I'm just getting something wrong here? And this is the thought that I had is, okay, so the pattern of behavior that I've experienced from the repair work at Camping World does not fit the level of attention to detail that she's painting, no pun intended, in this picture, in this email, right? Here's what I mean by that. They did some body work for me before. I pulled it off the lot, and I was like, oh, no, it's, you guys got to go back. And they had replaced the headlight, and it looked like they had drop-kicked the headlight across the shop floor. It was all scuffed up. There were paint issues in the sense that the parts of the rig that they painted, they didn't tape off properly, or they didn't seal with, because RVs have molding on them, and they use like a silicone caulk almost to seal the trim. It wasn't sealed right. And so, and this is after four or five visits, and I'm like, so all of a sudden they're like the tightest ship in town, and they're paying this kind of attention to detail that if that paint doesn't match exactly, they're not happy with it on a fuel door? That doesn't... Mm-hmm. All right. So this is... So Jay gave me a couple pieces of advice here. One of them you already mentioned, which was go take this part to a body shop. Take your paint sample that you have with the paint code and get an estimate. But then the other thing that you either directly said this to me or you made me think of it was... When you, and you are, I think, the person that originally taught me this way back. When I have a job that I go in, let's say I got a bad fuel pump.
Right.
On my car. Okay. And I go into Ford and I've got a 2017 Ford Fusion, and it's still under warranty because it's got a 3-year warranty and it hasn't hit its 36,000 miles yet. Okay. If I take that to a Ford dealer, and it's a bad fuel pump, and that dealer covers that under warranty, Ford covers that cost back to the dealership, right? They reimburse the dealer? Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this, Jay. Does the dealership then just get to bill them willy-nilly at random however many hours they think it should take to do that work? How is that determined?
There are... there's book time, Mitchell Manual. You know, you there is book time. It tells you exactly the amount of time for a warranty job or for a just initial repair. Warranty jobs are typically a little bit less in time because they're not going to pay at the same rate. Because, in other words, it's not designed for the dealership to make money twice on it. It's there to satisfy.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. They know you gotta just get it done as a service. And
we're consumers. We know that, you know, even under certain circumstances, it's just not... You know, in our control, if you're dealing with insurance companies work with manufacturers and say, okay, look, this is a reasonable amount and this is what we'll pay and this is the booked value that we'll pay. And so there you go. So creative billing is not allowed.
So there is a standard in place in the automotive side, and you taught me this years ago, that, you know, that fuel pump replacement on that car is known to take, on average, an hour.
Hour and a half.
Or an hour and a half, or whatever it is. Yeah. And you can't go back and deal and bill Ford 5 hours for a job like that when, you know, Ford knows good and well that it can be done in an hour and a half. So I thought, all right, I'm going to call the manufacturer, Thor Motor Coach, and I'm going to ask them what the warranty book is when they pay, because they've actually paid on my rig to have this part replaced. This is not anything uncommon. So I've got historical information. I could probably find it on the paperwork if I could go back and dig it up.
That's right.
So she goes, so I call Thor, and they look up the part, and they look up the paint codes, and they look up the exact, she's like, you have these four colors on your rig, here are the four paint codes. I'm like, yeah, I know, I got them in front of me. She goes, that's an hour paint labor. That's what we pay if they bill us. It's an hour. They can bill us for five, but we're going to pay them for one. I went, okay, thanks. Thanks very much. So then I drove down to the local body shop that's done work for us before. And I said, you know, here's this part. I know it's a small job, but, you know, you guys have always done a great job for me in the past. Can you just send me a quote to paint it? Here's the paint code. And the guy's like, no problem. Within like 2 hours later that afternoon, I had a quote from him for... $130. Hour, 1.75 hours with prep. Now, prep is 2 to 3 times as long as the actual painting, for those of you that don't know. I mean, the prep work does take
sand,
a long time.
You got to prime. You got to a lot of stuff, tape off, whatever, you know.
Yeah. And look, I am not trying to haggle with Camping World over Nichols here. I felt like this was way off. I felt like somebody was trying to take advantage
of
me.
Proportion.
And it certainly looked like that.
It was out of proportion for the size of the job.
And these guys have done a lot of work for me in the past, which I'm about to bring up with to them. And I just couldn't get over it. So, so I just decided to give it one last chance, and I wanted to just respond. And this is kind of where the buck stopped. I have not heard back from them since this was last Thursday. So now we are recording this on a Monday. So they've had 3-ish business days, 2 business days for sure, to respond. So I wrote back to the shop manager and just said, I checked with Thor this morning, and the warranty labor for this job is 1 hour. I also got a body shop to estimate, which came in at about 130 to paint, which is about 1.75 hours with prep. I realize you're in the middle here, but your body shop estimate is grossly inflated. It's over double what the manufacturer and another body shop will allow. I have been a longtime customer, and I'm seriously rethinking that. I'm not sure the reason for the drastic, and I mean drastic, 4-hour estimate, but none of the scenarios I can imagine are good. Telling me the paint has metal flake in it as a justification for cost is like telling someone that tires have rubber. It comes that way. I'm sitting here looking at my bottle of Sickens touch-up paint that Thor provided me with paint code DM700, and the metal flake is in it. None of the reasons you've given me are valid. Paint codes are there to require little to no matching. Prep work does take time, but not 3 hours on a job like this. At this point, I'm not sure if the body shop thinks I'm too stupid to know better, or if they're just pricing so high to make me go away. In either case, I'm starting to get the message. And that was something that you had mentioned. You'd said, hey, they just might not want to deal with this job. It's too small, so they're just pricing you out.
I've been in those circumstances. I've worked for businesses, you know, and I don't agree with them when this happens. You should just be honest with your customer and say, hey, look, you know, we just, you know, can we recommend an outside source because we just don't have the time to get to it? Or just be, you know, this is what it's going to cost you, but we're not going to be able to get to it. I would rather someone say that to me then say, hey, it's going to be $700 and I run for the hills because I'm scared to death. Because those tactics do happen, not a lot, and I'm not trying to give a bad rap on the industry, but, you know, what do you, you know, if you don't know how to come out and say to someone, you know, we don't really want to do it, and this is your practice, then it's not a very good one. It's not a wise thing to do.
Well, and let's think about the big picture here. So now what? Now, I've been a loyal Camping World customer for a very long time. And it's like, now I'm not going to look there first.
Right.
Not after this. I mean, first of all, the circus that it took to get somebody to respond. And second, when I did get somebody to respond, it was drugs. Yeah. I don't know. Are they on drugs?
If I'm management, they need to be looking into... you know, does the person that's writing out the estimate have the skills and or the appropriate tools that they need to appropriately write out estimates and to give to the customers? Or what's going on? You know, I mean, is there some, you know, I'm not insinuating or I'm not accusing, but it just looks to me like there's a really big mistake. Or there's some stuff going on back there that shouldn't be.
And as a customer, you know, there's a fine line of, you know, and I said this in email. I just said, look, are you sure? Could you go back and look at this? I'm trying to politely say this is way offline, but I didn't say that. I said the first time I didn't say that. I said, are you sure? Because this doesn't look right to me. How do you not insult a repair shop? But at the same time go, man, this isn't right. Because I don't want to be at odds with these guys. I don't want to come off like
the
jerk.
And keep in mind, people, you know, from a size standpoint, this thing is about the size of a mouse pad. I mean, it's not like it's a big...
Yeah, or if not smaller.
Exactly.
And it's smaller.
It's not like it's a fender where you're lining up panels and you're, you know, this is, it's pretty straightforward. How many screws? Hold this, four. I mean, it's not...
Four.
It's not rocket science, you know? But I think the moral of this thing is, the moral of this story, this whole event, and why we like sharing these things with our audience, is you have the right as a consumer to look online. There are so many tools out there for you to check behind. Don't just take the first thing as the gospel, if you will. It's you do your due diligence for yourself to make sure you're not getting taken advantage of, because it does happen. And whether it's an intentional taken advantage of or a mistake, regardless, you should check those things. And, you know.
Well, and so I called the guy that hit me, you know, the rig next to me, and gave him this update. I'm like, hey, man, I drove it down to this other body shop, and I got a new quote. And it looks like it's going to be a couple $100. You know, it's $130 for the paint work, and it's like $61 and change for the part.
Checks in,
he was over
the
moon.
Checks
he was
in
like,
the mail.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
He was like, great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I mean,
thanks
and
for,
you did
you know,
the right thing. I mean, that's what we, again, that's what we should do is, you know, this guy could have very well just moved on and never said anything to you. But he called you, was kind enough to call you and say, hey, man, I kind of, sorry about that. And so, Keith, I know you. You would do that for anyone. If you have to get an estimate on something, you're going to do the right thing. And if...
Yeah, well, I guess it comes back to what Grandma said, right?
Let's hear it.
Treat others as you wish to be treated.
I always say to people, put yourself in, you know, it's like my wife sometimes will go and have estimates. Oh, gosh, we've talked about this on prior podcasts. Your wife's gone and had estimates. And, you know, there's some questionable things that, you know, come back to my house saying,
where's my circus music? Where's my clown horn?
Exactly, man. And that's just a case. It's we have to check these things, folks. You can't just take it for their word. I mean, I'm going to say most businesses are not doing things like this intentionally. This is not something that's an occurrence in that way, but you really do have to be careful.
So, I mean, and you know, I burned what did they call it on the what was that game show that was so popular a few years back with Regis Philbin? I burned my lifeline to the Camping World corporate office to get them to respond. So I kind of felt like I couldn't really go back to that well again because I'd already used it. I mean, at this point, if I go back, they're gonna label me as a problem. They're just gonna be like, look,
sometimes you just have to complain. You know, they're going to look at it like, well, you know, sometimes you got to fire a customer. It's just kind of how they look at it.
Yeah.
But so, you're not a problem. That's it. No.
Yeah, well, I don't think so. I mean, I certainly want to, you know. So this is the third time that I've done this on this podcast today, but I'm going to do it one more time. Camping World, if you're listening, I gave you every chance in the world. And then some. And you are welcome. If you would like to have more information, or you feel like, you know, maybe I'm not treating you guys fairly or whatever, go to our website, partscounterguru.com. There's a little ask us a question button at the top. Drop me a note. I'll be polite. I'll be kind. I'll be nice. We'll talk. Mm-hmm. You can sponsor the program.
Yeah. Matter of fact, it'd be good timing if you want to. Sure, we would love that because, you know, we're thinking about starting up a little another little camping and RV section.
We are getting ready to do an RV section, you know. But look, you guys have got to fix this. You've got to fix this because this isn't the first time. I know I'm not alone. Your reputation precedes you. And I'm just the guy with the podcast and the friend over there who lets me talk about it on a podcast for an hour so that the rest of the world knows that they're not alone. But you guys have got to fix
this. That's right.
All right, now I'm better.
You feel good now?
Yeah.
I can tell you though that you were struggling with the Impossible Burger. It looked like it may have been coming back on you a little bit there during the middle of the podcast. You got any Tums?
I was so hungry that I ate them both, as you noticed.
I saw, yeah.
I won't ever do that again. It's just not for me. It might be for some people. It's not for me. It's not awful, but I just tasted like fried beets or grilled beets or, you know.
Okay, well, so check this out. Okay, let me be very clear. For me, the concept of a meatless burger at a fast food burger joint makes absolutely no sense to me. Just like right now, there were a couple of hundred people who just recently got sick at McDonald's because of the salad. I'm telling you right now, folks, there's a reason why you got sick from the salad, because people are buying the fast food from the fast food joint, not the salad. That's who buys a salad at fast food joint, man?
Hey, you know what they call the people that buy salads at fast food joints and then get sick?
What?
Have you heard this one? Salad shooters.
Oh, that's a good one, man.
Woo!
Work that one out.
Yeah.
But
all right.
Anyway,
yeah,
I don't get it, man.
I guess unless you're drug with, like, you know, you're with three other people and they all love hamburgers and you're just not into that and you got no choice, so then you're like, I'll have a salad. I think I'd rather go for the yogurt or something.
Yeah, I would too, or just just water until you got to a place where you could eat something that is more suitable, you know? But I mean, it's a hamburger joint, man. I mean, you don't go to KFC for the pecan pie or the crunchy granola, you know? I'm going in for the chicken livers. I'm going in, man. If they sold gizzards, I'd eat those.
I'm gonna differ with you on one detail here. I will go to the KFC for their mashed potatoes.
Ooh. Well, that's fast food, man. Mashed potatoes, gravy. Yeah, remember they?
I mean, those fat. I don't know. I think they put crack in those mashed potatoes.
They put crack in their coleslaw too. I know that, man. Yeah,
it's. Whatever is in those mashed potatoes, I have never in my life had mashed potatoes as good as KFC.
It's good stuff.
Ever. No matter what.
I think I grew up on KFC. My grandmother was a big fan of it. She would go for the livers.
Yeah.
She loved chicken livers. And me, man.
So do catfish.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. But nah, people, man. You know, we're joking, but we're not. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, people complain because they got sick from a salad at McDonald's. You don't hear people getting sick from the Big Macs.
Yeah, well, that's the same crowd that they got to put the warning that coffee is hot.
right, yeah. McDonald's was the one that started that, too, wasn't it?
I think so. Well, yeah, because there was a famous lawsuit involved where the guy got coffee at a drive-thru and he burned himself because he spilled it on him, and he won the suit. Nobody told me it was hot. Yeah, all right. Well, you've ruined it for the rest of us now. So, Jay... thank you for allowing me this hour of therapy. I realize that our time is almost up.
No.
I hope this has been helpful to others or will be helpful to others in some way.
And I think it will be. Again, you know, Keith, you and I always try to look at it from a consumer standpoint. We're consumers. Yes, we have insight to the industry because we've been in it so long. And we talk about these things, but... It's funny, you know, you say this, we get together, we talk about what are we going to talk about on the podcast? What's our topic this week? And it's funny how it just kind of all of a sudden just falls right in our lap. It's like being pick 32 in the draft in the first round and nobody picks the top guy and it just falls right in your lap. That's kind of what happens to us every week when we do these things. It really does. I feel like we get the number one draft pick every week, man.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, without getting like too emotional here, I mean, I think way back when we started these phone conversations and we would talk about this stuff, and I would just keep going, yeah, we got to be recording this, man. This is just, I mean, it's
right.
Somebody else out there is going to run into this.
And we just talk about it, you know, it's fun.
So why don't you, do you want to handle the closing arguments?
Closing arguments. I don't know that I have any closing arguments, but wow.
Well, you want to approach the jury and like convince them that they should subscribe to our channel.
First of all,
we'd
like to say thanks again for any of you that already are subscribed to our podcast, especially our YouTube channel, our media channel there. It's much appreciated. Remember, you can always go to partscounterguru.com and you can find every single podcast link there in the menu. You can also go to our mentioned on the podcast tab, which is there if we mention stuff like we have today. Of course, I don't know that you can buy an Impossible Burger online. Can you?
I don't know. I'll by the time this airs, we will have that answer in the mentioned on the podcast.
Costco online. Man. I think you can buy them. They'll ship them to you. I bet Amazon could. I bet, man, it got to be on Amazon, dude.
Well, I'll have your answer.
But before it hits. Yeah. So
the website.
You know, remember, you can go there and purchase through Amazon anything mentioned on the podcast, and it doesn't have to be anything mentioned on the podcast. If we have a nice icon up in the right hand side of the website there, just click on the icon, the Amazon icon, and you can click on it and go do your shopping. We can't see a thing. We don't know what you're buying. We don't know who you are buying it. It doesn't really matter to us. But what does matter to us is that it helps us out a lot when you do that. And that's what helps keep us going, just like our subscriptions over on YouTube. Again, I'll say it again. It's free to you, but priceless to us. The more subscriptions we get, the more time we get to spend doing this over and over again. And we really love doing it. So, going to pay for that jet, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm an RV guy, man. I'll just settle for hot tub on the roof.
So no need to get the estimates on the helipad?
I mean, that's clever. Yeah, that way you can go out to the amphitheater or the arena from your rig without having to drive there and rub shoulders with the common folk,
man,
with the peasants.
Wow, I'm glad you brought that up, arena. I just saw Sammy Hagar, the Red Rocker. And I'm going to tell you guys, this audience right now, the man has still got it. It was one of the best rock shows I've seen in a long time, next to the Rolling Stones, which I saw back in 2015. I highly recommend it. Michael Anthony, he's on bass. You know, remember him from Van Halen? Jason.
Also a car guy.
Jason Bonham, big time car guy, bike guy. Son of John Bonham from Led Zeppelin. And then Vic Johnson, who's been with Sammy for a long time. He's a great guitarist. He's been with the Circle for a lot of years and stuff. So Sammy's got some new material out. But we saw it at a little local amphitheater, small casino, and it was just rocking. He still got it. He played some of the great Van Halen hits that he had with those guys and a lot of his old stuff. He did some Montrose stuff, and he played a couple of his new songs from his upcoming album, which is called Space Between, I think. So, Sammy, if you're listening, man, I'm reaching out to you. I've been reaching out to you on Instagram, but I got no response from you. But we really loved your show. So join us on our podcast. Subscribe. So there you go.
So tune into Podcast 31, Sammy or Dave.
Oh.
Are we gonna do that? You want to do it?
Why not? We'll try it.
That's.
I reached out to my buddy Marlon, by the way. I did get a response from him, and we'll see what happens here.
Okay.
So just stay tuned for that. We'll see. So take us out, man.
All right. Anything else? All right. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Keep an eye on the website at partscountergurus.com. We have an camping section coming very soon. I've already got some stuff to put up there. Mike's been working on some stuff. You don't know him, but you will soon. So stay tuned to the website. Until next time, that is Jay over there. I am Keith, and I'm going to leave you with this one's not mine. This is one of my, I actually wrote this down. I'm a big fan. I was reading some Ben Franklin the other day. Benjamin Franklin, you know, that guy on the money.
Yeah. Some Bens.
Here's a Benjamin Franklin quote for you. We are all born ignorant, but one must work hard to remain stupid.
Ooh, nice. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Yep. We'll see you next time.
knows.
Wait, I mean, don't save it for the podcast.
Okay, all right, let's go. All right, let me hit record.
Wait, you got to get your headphones on.
Oh, jeez.